It is my pleasure to welcome Alex Clark as my guest on this episode of the Why Sports Podcast, stories of competitors making competition matter inside and outside of sports. Alex recently completed an accomplished career as a swimmer at Purdue University. She arrived at Purdue in the fall of 2015 as a four-time state champion and three-time All-American while swimming for Carmel High School in Carmel, Indiana. Once arriving at Purdue, Alex's success in high school carried over to the collegiate swim scene. Her freshman year at Purdue, she set a school freshman record in the 200 IM and was the only freshman to score in three individual events at the Big Ten Championships. As a member of the Purdue swim team, Alex represented Purdue at the U.S. Open Championships, holds the third fastest time in school history in the 400 IM, and represented Purdue on various academic All-America teams and all-academic Big Ten teams during her four-year college career. Alex also made a positive impact out of the pool during her swimming career. A member of National Honor Society in high school, she has been involved with Medals for Metal, Dance Marathon for Riley Children's Hospital, and Walk for Autism, while also being a Random Act of Kindness Award recipient. Alex represents the best of what a student athlete can be. I look forward to you benefiting from her experiences and wisdom she is about to share. Now, my conversation with Alex Clark. Alex, thanks for joining me on today's podcast. First question, what are your earliest memories of competing?
First off, I want to thank you for having me today. And I would say my first memory of competing was when I was 9 years old at the Indiana State Championship meet. I remember I was competing in the 50 butterfly, and at the time I had a current arch nemesis, and all I remember was wanting to beat her so badly, and all of the work I'd put in that year and the determination that I had felt going into that race. I looked up at my parents, and they both gave me the thumbs up, smiling, knew that I was ready to go, and from then on, once I dove in the water, I knew I wanted to beat her as badly as anyone else in the pool that day. And luckily enough, I pulled out the win. And I think that everything that I did that year led up to who I am now and the work ethic that I follow to this day. So that's probably my earliest memory.
Are you willing to share who that arch nemesis was?
Sure. The arch nemesis was Charlotte Alls. Unfortunately, she didn't make it to college swimming, but at the time, she was a stud. Everyone knew who she was in Indiana, and she definitely was one of the best butterflyers at that time period, for sure.
Now, when you think about that first state meet and then even others as you went through your early years in competitive swimming, do you believe the fact that you won that first major race and beat Charlotte catapulted you, or was it more about the competing for you and just being in that environment?
I think winning always helps catapult you forward, no matter what. Obviously, everyone wants to win gold at some point, but that doesn't take away from a lot of other accomplishments that I had during that meet just because I didn't win. But I think it's important to understand your own successes and just embrace and be able to acknowledge the gold in the best light that you can and not take it too seriously or be like, I have to win the gold. But I think that definitely catapulted me forward. There have been many times where I didn't win the gold, so, and I count those as successes as well.
How goal-driven were you early on in your swim career?
Extremely goal-driven. I remember growing up, my dad had always set goals with me. We, even on the side from my coaching staff growing up, we were always setting goals together, whether it be at that specific meet, long-term, short-term, we always had a goal in mind. And once I reached that, then we would start to make it a little harder. And I just remember always having a goal in the back of my mind. And because of that, I think I have been successful. If you don't have goals, you're not really pushing towards anything. I mean, obviously there's been plenty of failures too. So I think early on I was very goal-driven and satisfied by reaching goals.
Do you remember the first time you struggled in a meet or maybe didn't perform quite to the level that you wanted to, and how did that feel?
Yeah, I think swimming is the sport where early on you kind of succeed very quickly and you don't start to see kind of a plateau or even decline until a little later. I would say 16 is probably about the peak. 16, 17 for swimming. Obviously, you can get faster. It just becomes a lot harder to do that. So I think with that, my first, I guess, failure or not success, you could say, was probably in high school. I remember my sophomore year, I didn't exactly perform like I had thought I would. Freshman year, I was coming off of an extreme high. I did really well at the state meet, and I had really high expectations for myself going in that next year. And I didn't reach those goals, but I still went best times, which is awesome. So I can't be mad about that, but I remember being really disappointed in myself and what I had kind of done that meet. So I think that was probably my first sign of defeat for sure.
As I mentioned in the opening and introducing you, talked a little bit about the fact you were an All-American swimmer in high school in one of your events. You were a four-time state champion swimming for arguably the best high school program in the country. What types of pressures or what types of, for lack of a better term, maybe challenges came forward swimming in that program and with that kind of environment?
Yeah, it's funny you say that with the pressure. My college friends and I joke about it to this day. A lot of Indiana swimmers go to Purdue, and we all know the pressures and what it feels like to be at that Indiana high school state meet. And to this day, we had said that the pressure at that meet is higher than any other meet we have ever been to, including Big Tens, Nationals, Olympic Trials. That is the most high pressure meet I can say I've ever experienced and been a part of, just because I think the tradition that comes with Carmel swimming, it's such a great program. We have a lot of pressure to continue the streak. But with that pressure comes a lot of rewarding experiences and times, and a lot of hard work goes into those years where we have won. And I think the pressure from that meet has helped me moving forward with the other pressures in one, life, and two, swimming, that I had to deal with moving forward. So I think the pressure was a good thing, and I always seem to perform well under pressure. I like the nervousness and high expectation coming from coaches and my teammates. So I think the pressure all in all was a good thing, but I can say that I was more than nervous at those meets, and you could definitely tell the high intensity of that arena when we were at the high school state meet.
So when you look back on your career in sports and having just finished it at Purdue University here recently, what do you see as maybe the biggest thing you feel like you'll take away from swimming as you move forward in your life?
I think the biggest thing I'm going to take away from swimming is the hard work ethic that I've developed over the years. Swimming's a sport where the harder you work, that doesn't mean you're going to get faster, which was a really hard lesson, I think, for me to learn, because I'm the type of person that loves the grind. I'm going to put in my best effort no matter what and do it to 110%. And so when results don't show, it's really frustrating in a swimming sense. But I think hard work, I truly believe hard work pays off in one way or another, whether that was my times or my schoolwork or my friendships and relationships, my hard work always paid off in some way. So I think with that moving forward, hard work is one of the most important lessons that swimming taught me, and it's going to help me be successful in whatever I do.
Now, as a child growing up, obviously you were a swimmer, but did you do any other sports? And if so, how were those experiences?
Yes, I was actually a gymnast. Growing up, I loved gymnastics. I was extremely athletic and very flexible, and I really enjoyed being around the atmosphere. It was a little, how do you say it? It's very hard to do gymnastics just because you have people judging you, so it can be hard to see your work pay off because someone else is judging you. Like with the time in swimming, the clock doesn't lie, so whatever you go, like, that is your time. But with gymnastics, it can get a little vague and gray. But I grew really fast when I was young. My sister's actually way taller than me. She's 6 foot, and I was supposed to be 5'9", but I only turned out to be like 5'6". So I was this height when I was probably 9, and I never grew since. So once I realized I was too tall for gymnastics and I was breaking a lot of bones and getting injured really easily, my parents kind of forced me into the swimming light, and I wasn't really happy about it at first, but after everything that I've been through, I think it was the right decision.
When you think about, you know, you've mentioned your parents and you mentioned your dad and setting goals with him. Who have been some of the biggest influencers in both your swimming career and what you've been able to achieve outside of swimming, academically, et cetera, as well?
Definitely, I would say in the swimming world, my dad was my biggest supporter and mentor. He swam in college as well, so he kind of knew the ropes and had geared me in the right direction with that. So I think learning from him and having his unconditional support was exactly what I needed, and he always believed in me no matter what, and it's the belief in coming from someone else which helps you believe in yourself. Coaching staff-wise, I would say TJ Day and Ian Murray, they were my high school coaches. Those two have helped me succeed in my life, both in the pool and out of the pool. They saw me as the whole person, no matter what. And I think just their encouragement and belief in me as well is what kept me going, because you want to have that reassurance from a coach that they believe in you and are proud of you as well, because you can only be so self-motivated for a period of time. You have to get that feedback and reassurance from your coaching staff as well.
For coaches who are listening to this podcast today, I love what you mentioned there about the influence that those coaches had on you and the fact that they saw you as a whole person. Can you share an example or two of what that looked like from your coaches? So maybe those coaches that are listening today that are struggling with that can get some good ideas and maybe how they can approach their athletes.
Sure. So I think in high school, whenever I was struggling or didn't think that I was going to be able to do something, my coach would always send me a text right before a meet if they knew that I was starting to freak out or get too nervous, and tell me that you're a freaking stud. Like, everything you have done this season is going to pay off in this race. And just knowing and hearing those words of advice from your coach is honestly what kept me going forward. I'm the type of person that needs to hear the positive feedback as much as possible. I'm always welcome to criticism and learning how to improve whatever I'm doing. But at the same time, you need to hear the good things that you're doing as well, because that's what you succeed off of. Obviously, it's hard to acknowledge your failures and you learn from those, but learning and hearing the positive feedback from my coaches is what really kept me going forward. And once I heard that, I knew and would push myself even harder and give it my all even more than I thought I was at the time. So ultimately, hearing it from them helped push me even more than I thought I was even going. And I think that has helped me succeed. And that is why I remember those coaches.
When you talk about the relationship you had with your dad in the swimming, the fact that he was a swimmer in college at Michigan State, if I'm correct on that, in giving advice to sports parents who may be listening to this, what were some of the things that he and your mom did during your swimming career that helped you stay grounded and be successful in the pool?
Sure. Obviously, they did a lot of good things, but no one's perfect. And I would say that there were times when my dad was overly involved in my swimming career, and I definitely had to tell him, along with my mom, to kind of back off a little bit and let me kind of develop as my own swimmer, that this isn't his career, it's mine. So there were times when I did have to tell my dad to tone it down. My mom's a little more, I want to say, not as knowledgeable in the swimming world, so she was kind of my person that always just told me that I look good no matter what, whether it was a horrible race or not. So I feel like you typically have one parent who is overly involved and pushing you sometimes too much, and then you have the parent that really just doesn't know what's going on. So I think they balance each other out and were able to provide me the knowledge that I needed in order to succeed in the pool, and they obviously gave me the resources as well. But at the end of the day, with even the things that were too much sometimes, they definitely gave me insight on how to be a successful, hard worker, both in the pool and outside of the pool. And I can't really thank them enough for that, for what they've taught me on how to be an athlete, but successfully, and honestly do it for myself, not for them. And I think they did a really good job of ingraining that in me, that it was for me, not for them.
You know, and I love what you said there. I think that's one of the challenges that probably a lot of parents who are listening to this have, is figuring out that balance between supporting and pushing, loving and challenging. And sometimes those lines can blur. So I really appreciate your comments there and what you shared. Shifting gears, you've had an excellent academic career, both in high school, where you were a member of National Honor Society, and an academic All-American and an academic All-Big Ten selection in college. What have been your key factors to your academic success?
Going back to high school, I would say academics were not on the back burner, obviously, for me, but swimming was my life and everything about it. I wanted to go to practice. Swimming was honestly more important than school was at the time. I still did really well in school. In high school, I studied. There were times when you kind of have to sacrifice the school for sleep with swimming, which is a good and a bad thing. But finding that balance in high school was important for me. And I actually feel like going to college, I really stepped it up with my academics and made sure that I did what I needed to do in order to move on after swimming. So I think being a student in college as well as an athlete, it's important to find that balance there, as well as your social life. I mean, with academics, you need to make sure that you're doing the right things to move on from once sports are over, because they do come to an end. And I knew they were going to come to an end for me. So making sure that I got good grades in order to apply to grad school or find a job or whatever I needed to do. I definitely flipped a switch once I got to college compared to high school. Not that I was not trying in high school, but I definitely put a lot more effort into my schoolwork once I got there. And I realized that maybe not with swimming that my hard work would pay off in the pool, but the harder I worked in school, the better grades I got, no matter what. It's extremely linear. So the more you study, the better you're going to do.
How did you find the adjustment from Carmel High School to Purdue University as far as academic workload, the way you maybe studied or how long you had to study? How was that adjustment?
It was definitely an adjustment. In high school, obviously, you need to study, but it's a different type of studying once you get to college. My sophomore year roommate, actually, she's her first year in med school right now. She kind of helped, like, gear me in the right direction with studying, and I felt a lot of pressure internally from myself being surrounded by her, just because she was so successful in school and in the pool. But in her school, she is one of the smartest people that I've ever met, and being surrounded by her kind of pushed me to push myself, and she allowed me to see that I am intelligent and that the harder I try and the more I study, that the better I'm going to do. And in terms of techniques for studying, I'm the type of person that I actually write out every single lecture note that I receive from a professor, and I go out and rewrite everything. And for a while, I was very note card heavy. But in high school, I definitely did not study as much as I thought I was, now that I've been through college as well. So you always think you're doing the most you can, but once you kind of reach that next level, you realize, wow, this is the next step. And so you're definitely more capable of doing things that you thought you weren't able to do, and that the maximum is never really the maximum. So I think it was an adjustment for sure, but being surrounded by my one roommate and kind of learning the ropes from her pushed me and allowed me to start succeeding a lot in school.
When you look back and let's say Alex Clark, where you are now, is going to go back to visit Alex Clark freshman year of high school, what would be a piece of advice you would give the freshman year Alex Clark?
Freshman year Alex Clark, I would tell her not to take life so seriously, and that enjoy the moments, especially with your friends, because now that it's all over in terms of my athletic career, you don't remember any of the hardships or the awful practice I had to do by myself, or me breathing so heavy like I can't even talk. You don't remember that. You remember the times with your friends and the friendships that you make outside of sport. And I think I would tell her that it's important to acknowledge those friendships, and that it's okay to have some fun. It's supposed to be fun. All the pressure that you feel from your coach, your parents, yourself, that it's important to have pressure at some point, but you need to be able to take that aside and learn how to have fun with it, because at the end of the day, it's supposed to be fun.
College is obviously, competing at the Division I level like you did at Purdue is a different beast than not only any other level of college, but also what you experience in high school. If you'll be willing, share some of the challenges and maybe even the ups and downs that you experienced as a college swimmer, and be real for those listening that have those dreams of being a college athlete, to know what it really does mean to compete at that high a level.
Yeah, definitely. I think coming into college, I was more than ready for a change at that point. I was excited to leave high school. I wanted a different scene, and I had a very successful freshman year. Coming off of that, I was highly motivated for that summer. In the start of my sophomore year, I was working the hardest I had ever worked. I was training faster than I had ever thought I could, and I was just ready to go. And by the time sophomore year Big Tens hit, I did not perform the way I thought I was going to. And I was confused, frustrated, just super mad, and didn't understand why everything that I had done up until that point didn't work out. And I remember just being super down on myself and questioning why I was even doing it. Why am I working this hard if it's not going to pay off in the end? Why am I doing all these hard workouts by myself, training alone, when everyone else is training together, when clearly whatever I just did didn't work? So I just remember being very emotionally unstable after sophomore year. I was not pleased with where I was at the time. And it was really hard for me to find that continued motivation into my junior year. I had kind of lost interest in swimming. I was doing really well in school at the time, and so it was easier for me to fall on academics than it was swimming at the time. So studying became extremely important to me, and I kind of like put swimming on the back burner at the time, just because I felt like everything I wasn't doing wasn't working out. And with my training at the time, it wasn't changing. I was doing the same thing for the last 3 years. And so junior year rolled around, and I did even worse than I did my sophomore year. And I think with that, looking back now, I think a lot of it had to do with my mental state and where I was in my head with swimming, because swimming, you know, they say it's like 70% mental, 30% physical, and I could not agree with that more. I think in order to perform at your best with your training, with your friends, with your coaching staff and everything, you have to be in the right mindset or you're not going to perform like you think you are. And learning how to develop the confidence again once you've been knocked down several times is extremely hard as a D1 athlete, because sometimes you're not hearing it from your coach enough that you're a beast or whatnot, or you're not hearing it from your teammates that you're awesome and like you can keep going. So it's really hard to develop that self-motivation to keep yourself going. And I think learning how to develop that and work on your mental state, I think the mental state is the most important thing you can work on. You're going to be in physical shape no matter what. You're a D1 athlete. They're going to work you as hard as you can, but learning how to train your mind and love yourself and know that whatever you're doing is going to work out is important. So I think going into my last year of competing for forever, I told myself to just enjoy it as much as I can. Whatever happens, I'm going to give it my best. And whatever that is at the time, that's what it was, because I gave it all I had. And so it's important to learn how to be okay with whatever the outcome is, as long as you give it your everything. And so I think that was something that I learned in my last year to apply to the future. And I think I wish I would have learned that a little sooner, but you know, everything isn't butterflies and roses. As a D1 athlete, you face a lot of challenges. You're fatigued all the time. Sometimes your social life isn't there. You're at home just studying all the time. You're at practice 20 plus hours a week. It's hard to be a student athlete, and you make a lot of sacrifices going into a D1 program. So you're definitely not living the same life as a typical college student is. And taking those sacrifices, I mean, obviously it was so worth it in the end, but there are things that you do have to give up. So I think overall, learning a lot of things about myself in those 4 years was important. And like I said, not everything was perfect, but if you are willing to put in the work and do what you need to do to succeed, I think trying and wanting to be a D1 athlete is completely worth it in the end.
You know, Alex, thank you for being candid in that answer. I think that's going to help, again, people who are listening to this that are athletes either preparing to go to college to perform or are already competing at the college level can benefit from what you said there. So I appreciate your willingness to be honest. Sure. And share both the good and the struggles
and the bad,
that come through that. When you look back on your college career and you look at what it meant to you as far as forming your identity, I've read quite a bit of articles that are out there now on mental health awareness, talking about how there are tendencies for athletes to struggle more than others when their careers end, especially those who competed at the college or professional level, to separate themselves and their identity from the sport. I'm going to ask you, have you ever faced that challenge? Or if not, do you know maybe some athletes that you competed with or against that are facing that? And what are your thoughts on sports and then how you keep that from making it your identity when you move on from it?
I think that's one of the most important things that we as a community, just athletes in general, need to discuss, because personally, I don't feel like I've had a hard time separating swimming from my identity. I think I have my parents to thank for that. They taught me growing up that swimming is not my life. I just happen to participate in swimming, and that there's a lot more to me than just swimming. Obviously, you want to ride off of your successes and you peg the success with swimming, and it's hard not to get down on yourself because you kind of tie like your identity with your successes sometimes, and I think it's important to be able to separate those. As of now, I think I'm doing a pretty good job with separating swimming from my identity, but I definitely know a lot of people that have been done with swimming before me that have had a really hard time with that. Mentally and even physically. So it's important to discuss it. And what I liked about Purdue is there's actually a program called Boilers Life After Sport. And there's a program you can join to kind of help gradually wean you into life after sport, pretty much. And I think that's important to have in a college sport, because if you don't know who you are, and you're identifying yourself with the sport, it's hard to move on from that once it's over. So I think learning how to kind of explore yourself and see what other interests you do have in life other than just your sport. You can't just be swimming or doing whatever you are all the time. And so learning, I think swimming helped me discover who I am, but it wasn't who I like was, if that makes sense. Like swimming was not me. Like I participated in swimming and it taught me everything I needed to learn, I think, but it's important to discuss life after sport just because I feel like the mental side to it is so complicated and it's hard to differentiate yourself from sport because you've been doing it for so long. It's almost been my entire life that I've been doing it. So what is life after that? You don't really know. So it's important to be prepared for that moment, but also you kind of have to learn it on your own. How do you prepare for something you're unsure of? So I think discussing it with people who have been through it is important and can honestly help people who are struggling with that identity separation.
You know, one thing that I think helps is to say, I was a swimmer, or instead of saying, I am a swimmer, I was a swimmer, you can say, I swam. That was where I competed. Right. They say the same thing like with a basketball player. A person's not a basketball player, they play basketball.
Exactly.
And I think that's an important distinction. That doesn't mean you don't care about it or that you don't want to compete at the highest level possible. Just acknowledging that's not the only thing that I am.
Exactly.
And that can be tough when you have friends and family who are constantly asking the easy, you know, everybody when you try to start a conversation goes the lowest hanging fruit. And with young athletes, I think it's easy just to say, well, how's swimming going? Or how's basketball going? And you know, sometimes it'd be great to ask another question,
right?
Like, hey, how are some of your friendships? Or,
right,
you know, how's your dating life or whatever? And
exactly.
It might be, well, that one maybe people wouldn't want to be asked. But, but I think,
right,
you know, I think as parents and as coaches, it's important for us to acknowledge that young athletes have more to them than just their sport.
So, I would agree with that.
Speaking of more than just your sport, I know that you have been involved in some service to others over your time in athletics, if you want to speak to a little bit of some of those things that you did.
So I was actually a National Honor Society in high school. So we did a lot of service events with that. But I also did Medal for Medals with an old teammate at Carmel High School named Becky Flaherty. She kind of got me involved in the program. And it's basically a program where you donate your medals to people that are not able to get medals pretty much. So growing up, you know, you receive a lot of medals over time, whether it's first or not. And I think being able to give back medals like that to people who are not able to earn or win medals of such, I think is extremely satisfying, and it helps both parties. One, you get to feel good by giving back to the community, and two, that person gets to feel good by receiving it. So that was something I was involved in high school. And in college, we did a couple community service events. We did a cleanup thing where we went to a community place for a women's health center where we cleaned up the entire facility for them because they're not able to do that. And so giving back to the community at Purdue was very rewarding. And we do a research cancer 5K walk every year, the swim team. It's mandatory to do it. So I think giving back to the community in those ways is very rewarding. And it helps you see that sport in other things is just, it's bigger than just you. And looking outside of that and being able to recognize that other people are in need of help too, and giving back to the community is definitely something I've enjoyed over the years.
Well, and I'm going to put a quick plug in for the Medals for Metal. Check out the website. It's neat work that this organization does. It's www.medals4metal.org. And I think you'll find that a great way to, again, use sport to benefit others. So thank you for sharing your time with that organization. Purdue University. Hopefully we have a lot of Purdue fans listening to this. Obviously, we hope there are Purdue swimming fans, but I'm sure we're going to get people who follow Purdue basketball, Purdue football, softball, baseball, whatever the sport is. Tell me how the athletic department at Purdue change during your 4 years there, and what should make Boilermaker fans the world over excited about the direction of Purdue University athletics?
Over the years, I think our new athletic director, he is stellar. I think he is more than willing to get the program in both basketball and football in the direction that it needs to be going. I think we've seen that in the last couple of years. Jeff Brohm has really helped the football team out. And I think just his role in, I've heard him speak a couple of times, and his vision for our school and our athletic department is extremely encouraging, and it makes you want to compete the best you can for your university. And we're trying to get Purdue up there on the numbers, and we want people to be talking about Purdue and to come to Purdue. So I think he's done a really good job of promoting our programs. And obviously swimming's not really a sport that gets a lot of hype. It's kind of on the back burner with that, just because we don't bring in a lot of revenue, and it's not exactly the most exciting thing to watch. But from what I've seen from other programs, and I mean, even swimming, we're trying to make it to the next level here. We're doing everything we can to do that, and people are very excited about that, and the pride that all of the student athletes have when we compete for Purdue. And to say that we've been to Purdue and we've graduated from Purdue is really rewarding and something to be proud of. So I think in terms of the direction we're going, it's definitely up. So that's exciting for both Purdue and all of our fans.
Well, and as you look at wrapping up your Purdue experience, I'm going to ask you, and this is not directly just athletics, but if I said, what does it mean to you to say, I'm a Boilermaker? What would you say?
Wow, that's a hard question. I'd say what it means to be a Boilermaker is someone who has a ton of grit and is willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish their goals. I think when you think of a Boilermaker or even Purdue Pete, it's someone who's strong and mighty, you know? It's not someone who's like a tiger or whatever. Like, when you think of a Boilermaker, you think, wow, I want to be like them. Like, we actually, at the commencement, Mitch Daniels talked about how they wanted to change our mascot, and he said that that's ridiculous because out of all of the mascots in the country, that there is only one Purdue Pete and one Boilermaker. So I think that's something extremely unique to Purdue, and a lot of people have pride as in being a Boilermaker. And I think someone who is hardworking and is always ready to put the hammer down is what comes to mind for me.
I don't want to offend our friends in Madison and Minneapolis, respectively, but Badger,
right? Gopher, exactly.
Purdue
exactly.
Pete. I mean, come on, that's right. Pretty easy, right?
Right. Exactly.
Well, Alex, you have some exciting times coming ahead of you, and you're just getting ready to embark on those. Tell us what's in your immediate future and what you're going to be doing down in Arizona.
Yes, I am moving to Arizona in August. This past year, I applied to graduate school for speech-language pathology, and I was extremely nervous on where I was going to get in, so I kind of applied all over just to secure a spot somewhere. And I ended up getting into a lot more programs than I thought I was going to, which was really rewarding and made me feel good about myself for all the hard work I did put into school over these last 4 years. But I decided on Arizona because, one, I want to change, and two, I really like the program that they have to offer. It's a lot of opportunity, and I'm completely clueless on what I want to do with speech pathology, so I think that they are going to give me a lot of insight and hopefully direction on where I'm going to go with that. But yeah, I moved there in August, going to Arizona State, and I'll be in Tempe, so I'm excited.
Very fun, and obviously best of luck to you.
Thank you.
On that. Go knock them dead.
Yeah.
Just three more questions, and I think if nothing else, when we take this whole interview, these three wrap everything together, and I just want to say for the young athletes listening, these are the ones that I think can help give you the guide for what you want to look to as you're competing now moving forward. The first of those three questions is, as you look into your future, what role do you believe your experiences along the competitive journey are going to play in achieving your future goals and dreams?
I think the role that I'm going to play, for me, it's the impact in the way I make other people feel is going to help me fulfill my goals. I'm the type of person that likes to make other people feel good, and that's kind of why I chose the major and the career path that I did, because I like to help others. And I think by me doing that, by helping someone else, it fulfills me in kind of what goals I've set for myself. So I think giving back to others and allowing myself to enjoy both giving back, and then by doing that, it receives to me as well. So I think that's kind of where I see that.
And then your best advice for a young athlete listening today on how they can make their competitive journey that they're experiencing now matter throughout their entire lives?
I would say the best thing you can do in order to make it last for your entire life is to find balance. It's really hard to find balance growing up, especially with all the sports you're in, the school, your social life. There's so many different factors going into play when you're a student athlete, but I think finding that balance, because I'm here to say that it's possible. You can do well in school, you can do well in your sport, and you can also have friends and have a social life and live the college experience. So it is all possible, but it takes a ton of discipline and a lot of time management. So be sure that you're willing to go through that. It is challenging, and not everything's going to be easy. So finding that balance can really help push you forward. And I think that's what's going to take you far in life, because once swimming ends, something else will come up and takes part of all three. So finding the balance moving forward is, I think, what's key to success in the future.
And the last question, best advice you can give parents as they support their young athletes on the competitive journey in order to make sure that what the athletes are doing now, again, positively impacts the rest of their lives?
I think, number one, positivity is one of the best things that you can do. Like we discussed earlier, obviously there's going to be a fine line of whether you're crossing it or not. Are you pushing them too much? Are you not pushing them enough? But I think the most important thing you can do is listen to your daughter or son and hear what they do have to say. It's important to recognize when you're doing too much and you're pushing them too much. Like, more than likely your kid's going to tell you that, and when they do, to listen to them and allow the coaches to kind of take over that role too sometimes, that maybe that isn't exactly your job or what you need to be doing, but to be there for your kid and provide them the resources and teach them that they are competing for themselves, not for you. I think that's one of the biggest things to learn growing up, that no matter what you do, you want to please and make your parents proud, but you have to understand that you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for yourself. And I think that's the key factor in being successful in sports, because once you figure that out, the sky's the limit.
Alex, thank you so much for your time today. For all the young listeners and young athletes listening to this, I want to just say Alex is one of the classiest, kindest people I know, and makes what a college represents what I hope all or most athletes represent at the high school and college level, because it's the athletes like her, they're going to pass on the knowledge and the wisdom that'll help others along the way and truly across a greater landscape of sports make it bigger than just the game itself. As I know I've said to you before, if all you have left at the end of it are a bunch of awards and some times from your swimming, that's not enough. And I love hearing today that you're taking much more from that sports experience with you as you head to Arizona and begin the next phase of your journey. So
thank you
today.
I appreciate you having me today and that I was able to share my experiences with you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Why Sports Podcast. I hope you share this episode with others. And if you are so inclined, would love to see your thoughts and comments about this episode, as well as any ideas you might have for future guests. Thank you again for listening to the Why Sports Podcast, and I hope you have an opportunity to listen to our next episode.